Blog Talk Radio.
Attention, Army Wives, fall in. You've come to the right place. Army Wife Talk Radio is the leading and longest running podcast of its kind, providing the latest reports, stories, interviews, and more to encourage and empower you on your military spouse journey. For Army Wives, by Army Wives. Now, here are your hosts, the Army Wife Network core team.
Welcome to the show. We're so glad you could join us today. I'm your host, Sherita Knobloch. You're listening to Army Wife Talk Radio, the leading and longest-running podcast of its kind. This is show number 660, and today is Monday, August 20th, 2018.
And I'm your co-host, Caroline Schaefer. We have a great show planned for you this evening. Our featured guests tonight are authors Amanda Tremillos and Stacey Alsbrook-Huseman. They're joining us to discuss their book, Seasons of the Military Student, Practical Ideas for Parents and Teachers. You can connect with them, with the authors, on different social media formats. Facebook, Seasons of My Military Student Parent and Teacher Group K through 12. Instagram, at Seasons of My Military Student. Twitter, at Seasons of Mil Kid. Or you can visit their website, seasonsofmymilitarystudent.com. Also coming up in just a few minutes, our News 6 Lisa will be calling in with your need-to-know news.
If you're listening to our show live right now, we'd love for you to join us in our show discussion currently taking place over on Twitter. Comment on the show, ask questions of our guests, or just hang out and chat with the AWN Core team. Head on over to twitter.com/Army Wife Network and be sure to use hashtag Army Wife to participate. All the links mentioned in the show tonight will also be posted in the comments section below this podcast on blogtalkradio.com. Also, during this live podcast, Stacey and Amanda are giving away one free ebook of Seasons of My Military Student to a lucky listener. To be entered into our drawing, tweet questions or comments on Twitter in our live chat using both hashtags, hashtag Season of My Military Student and hashtag Army Wife. After the show, we will randomly draw a name from those tweets and contact the winners through their Twitter account. So get tweeting.
Tonight's show is brought to you by your AWN Core team. We are a dedicated group of volunteers who are passionate about empowering you in this military life. Get to know each of us through our bios on armywifenetwork.com, or you can follow us individually on Twitter. Get a behind-the-scenes look into our Army lives, too. We're just like you.
Well, Caroline, let's catch up a little bit before we jump into the meat of the show. How's life in the Schaefer household in near Fort Bragg?
It's good. It's currently storming. But I heard you said you might be storming where you are, too, which, you know, I guess it's that time of year.
Yeah.
We just celebrated my husband's 44th birthday on Saturday.
Yay.
So that
Happy
was a fun
birthday.
Day. Yeah, and our
Mr. Schaefer.
Thank you all time. Our youngest is starting his sophomore year in college. Praise the Lord. Thank the Lord. We're so happy for so many reasons. And it reminded me as school starts up and even what we're going to be discussing tonight, how sad I was last year and excited, all the different emotions that you feel as they're leaving the nest and now we're first time, well, we were first-time empty nesters, and I think there was one thing that I took away that I just wanted to kind of share. So I will randomly, as they become these adult children, which I know those two words kind of go together, one of the things I randomly do a couple times a week, besides talk about school, besides talk about money, besides the mom questions, I love those little bitmojis. And I'll send him a random bitmoji saying, I love you, just thinking about you, good night. And sometimes I get stuff back and sometimes I don't. But it's just that I'm making those deposits into that emotional bank account that he may not even really pay attention to right now. But maybe when he's, well, I'm going to say 25, but 30. I don't know. maybe he'll notice them then. So, yeah. And I know yours are younger a little bit.
We just talk about different seasons of, like, students. Just a week ago today, we sent our oldest off to kindergarten. So I know that's a big step.
Wow.
I wasn't really, like, weepy, cryy, whatever, you know. It was just weird. Like, I was like, this is awesome. I'm a huge, you guys, listeners, you know, I'm a big nerd. If you've been listening for more than 15 minutes of AWTR and ever heard me host before, you know I'm a nerd. I love office supplies and inky pens and sticky notes and all things educational, whatever. And so, you know, I've been priming the pump with the kindergartner for weeks, being like, dude, you get to go to the library, you have PE, there's structure, you're going to learn to read this year, you get to eat in the cafeteria. So she was mostly jazzed. I mean, nervous the first day. I was nervous, and I don't really know why. It was weird, but, I mean, she did great. She's loving it every day. She came home on day 3 of kindergarten. Mom, I learned how to read today. And I was like, wow, all right, day 3
wow.
of kindergarten. I don't know what they're doing over there, but nice work. I'm sure she doesn't really know how to read, but, hey, I'll take it.
Yeah.
So it's really cool. Like, you know, she's doing good, and it's really great. Just all the neat things, watching her grow and learn, and sending her off to be on her way. And I'm sure in the blink of an eye, it'll be packing the car and sending her off to college, or having her get a job, or whatever's gonna happen when she's ready to leave the nest, which is crazy to think about.
It is. It doesn't feel like it when you're going through it. It really doesn't. And that's the thing.
Like, everybody's always like, oh, these moments pass so quickly. You know, when they're like little tiny, tiny babies, like, I get it.
Right.
You know, treasure these moments.
Right.
They pass so quick. I'm like, these moments are really precious, but, you know, sometimes they're real hard. There's
sure.
the really awesome moments and the really hard moments all at once. But I'm so grateful that she's really doing good and learning lots, apparently learning how to read already. And, it's good. Just a lot of excitement, I guess, in our household. And
I'm looking forward to the day that you tell me she has a little planner like yours and it's color-coded and stuff. I'm looking forward to that day.
Dude, for real. Like, they gave her a planner today in her backpack. One of those, like, it's a Life Touch planner and it's holographic on the front. You have opened a can. You should not have mentioned anything. I'm so excited. They have stamps and smiley faces in there, and I'm supposed to initial it every night. And I was like, Karis, this is a planner. Oh, I couldn't even. I didn't know you got planners in kindergarten. Like,
that's
I'm
awesome.
Not sad about this development. So it's really, I'm really excited. Maybe we'll decorate it. You get to write down how many minutes you've read that day. So I was like, we're going to the library right now. We need to hurry because I got to get home for AWTR, but let's go to the library and get all the books. And there's no limit for books at the Mickelson Library in El Paso at Fort Bliss, if anybody's curious. So it's good because I'm pretty sure we took all the books, which is great.
That's awesome.
I can't carry all this. Would you like a bag and this backpack and your purse? Yes, please.
Right.
So, yeah, super fun stuff. I hope she feeds off my nerdiness. Good times.
That's going to be great. But you have something else coming up, too, don't you?
Oh, yeah. You know, it's just that time again. We're getting our game faces on. I had to go dig out the game face from the storage units in the garage because we have a deployment coming up. So I kind of knew it, you know, in your Army wife gut. You just know, like, okay, there's nothing, like, official. No orders are cut, but you just feel it, which is good. It's not like this point of dread or, like, worry or whatever, but it's just like, I just feel it. And I want to prep for it, and we got here, and it's like, okay. The Army announced the official deployment, I think, three weeks ago, so the chaos begins. Got a couple-ish months or whatever until super go time. So we're starting to get ready for town halls and paperwork and trying to figure out how to explain it to the kindergartner. And, I'm going to have to work on my tickle skills because Daddy is the fun one. I mean, I'm not anti-fun, but... I'm definitely like, let's get all this stuff done, Mission America. And he's like, let's just wrestle in the floor and whatever. So
Yeah, I understand that.
Yeah, getting our game face on for that, but it'll be good. It's a non-combat deployment, so that's encouraging for me, not so much for my infantryman husband, because he always loves that kind of stuff. I mean, that's what he's trained for 15 almost years.
Right.
But so it should be good. We're getting ready to rock and roll on that. But enough about me. Let's go ahead and change gears just a little bit and find out what's going on at Army Wife Network. Hot on our blog this week is a story by experienced contributor Kathleen Palmer. Kathleen writes about the challenges of military spouses face when it comes to decorating their homes, especially when they live on post housing, and yet they have to stay within the rules of the housing office. Most military spouses have a favorite HGTV show to give them ideas to turn a white-walled home into something that's their own, and shopping for decorative items is something that military wives are just great at. So after recently relocating to Fort Hood, Texas, Kathleen and two of her friends drove to Waco to visit the Magnolia franchise from the HGTV show Fixer Upper to get ideas and, of course, some cupcakes. Because, as Kathleen states, it is a little-known fact that Army wives can mobilize for a shopping excursion that rivals a special ops team on a mission, and my two team members were up for the challenge. Read the rest of Kathleen's post by heading on over to our blog at armywifenetwork.com and look for HGTV Girl in a House Restricted World. So, Caroline, you live on post. You just moved on post, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So what are some ways that you're making it feel like a home for you and your family?
We've been on post now 2.5 weeks. It feels like longer already. And we went from 2,400 square feet to 1,200 square feet.
Mm.
But I am.
Do it.
So I am a really, four boxes went to Goodwill. I'm really lucky that my husband was in the construction business before he joined the military. And so he likes to build furniture. And here's a secret. The Habitat Restore, I think most cities have them. He will take old doors. So I have a bookshelf that looks like something right out of Fixer Upper. And he loves, by the way, he'll watch HGTV and I watch ESPN. So we're a little backwards.
Well, that's hilarious. It is.
So we are. He built me a bookshelf out of an old door. It's like a light blue. And, I mean, it's rustic. He didn't paint it. He didn't sand it. So that's the back of the bookshelf. And then the sides of the bookshelf are a bifold door. They took both sides. And then the only thing that was brand new was the crown molding. And then the shelving is made out of old pallets that he cut down to fit in there. And that's my favorite bookshelf in my house. Now, that's in the guest room. The guest room is my, shabby chic kind of room. But I said to him after reading this blog, I said, so how about if we did this, right? If we said, let's make our house look like a fixer-upper home. Although I am really not a decorator. Yeah, but where you could take it, because our house that we moved out of and we sold before we moved here, he shiplapped stuff. It was great. I said, why don't we need to find a way to do this because we're going to live in military housing until he retires. That's the goal, and we still have a ways to go. So we are up for the challenge. We haven't started shopping for it yet, but it's coming. I'll have
all
to let you know how it turns out.
Oh, my gosh. I don't know what it is about shiplap. I was joking with my husband. I was like, when we were looking for a house in El Paso, I was like, all right, there's shiplap. I'm sold. He's like, yeah, no. And then he's like, what's shiplap? I'm like, oh, you don't even know me. Oh, my gosh. What is happening here?
Yeah.
I'm not a decorator either. Like, I'm not. No one's ever going to come to my house and be like, this is so classy. But they're going to come and be like, this
me
is
too.
So Knobloch. Like, that's what they're going to say.
Right.
Like, it is
awesome.
Slightly eclectic, unique, and a lot of, I mean, it's kind of like a museum, not like an ode to ourselves, because that's really weird, but just, like, our stuff is out. We have built-in bookshelves that came with this house, and it's just like a place to put all the things, and people come, and they're like, you did duct tape for prom? You did polar bear plunge in college? Like, you went to auctioneering school, and it's just super fun. Conversation starters. Like, if I had that in a box, what would we talk about? We'd have to talk about the weather or, why our kid decided to throat punch each other while we're on the phone. Like, how boring is that?
That's true. That's great. Well, everything in my house has to be used another way. So we have the up chairs right now. We don't have a sofa anymore because nobody comes to visit us. Our oldest is in Germany, and the other one. So the college one has decided he's gonna make it out there. Okay. So we have a wingback chair and an old rocking chair that was my grandfather's. That I sat in this rocking chair. We have a picture of me in it when I was 5. And so it's wooden. I don't know. It's a certain kind. It's definitely not a rocking chair of today. And then we have these two trunks in between them that I picked up at TJ Maxx or something. And they're really heavy without stuff in them. But the bottom one has all his Army papers. And the top one has all our photographs. So, yeah. And then there's a lamp on top. So for me, I have to be able to use the decorations. Because if they're
like
just for dusting, that drives me crazy. And I don't.
Oh.
I tell people, if you're coming to my house and you expect to see a 47-year-old's house with decorations, it's not going to be mine.
All right. You should probably not come over because I do have lots of stuff for decorations, but they are dusty. So that's just what we do.
No, I like it. I like other people's houses. I love it. I just, for me, it's just, whatever. And you have kids. I mean, you have kids still. Yeah.
I can't keep this house clean.
I'll come play Legos.
Anyway, that's another topic for another day.
Yes,
I'm sure we'll talk about that on another show. But, Caroline, tell us what else is going on this week at AWN.
Sure. On August 10th, the AWN Table Talk was live on our Facebook page. Hosts Crystal Niehoff, Wendy Baird Packert, and Tracy Hargis continued their series of discussions with Part 3 of Career with educational options and resources for military spouses. And these ladies have done their research, and they share the practical ways for military spouses to ace the job interview, which is really important. Now, Sharita, I know you've been a student and other things, but have you entered or re-entered the job market during your husband's military career?
Well, I've kind of been self-employed with my blog and 7 Days Time and my ministry and stuff, but I actually, it's so timely that they were doing this live and I was taking notes because, you know, with the upcoming deployment, I'm an extrovert. If you, you know, you already knew that, and if our listeners didn't know, I'm an extrovert and I like seeing other humans and interacting with them that doesn't involve, you know, eat your supper, stop hitting your brother, don't bite, you know, time for bed, that kind of stuff. Like, I love my kids, but it's nice to, like, have adult interaction with the deployment coming up. I was like, maybe it would be really cool if I could get, you know, just a part-time job just to adult a little bit. And so I've actually been kind of looking for that. So if anybody knows any part-time jobs in El Paso, hit me up. But I've kind of noticed there are some challenges. Just because, it sounds silly, but, you know, a lot of military spouses are underemployed, which means they work at jobs that aren't necessarily where they fit they have really great qualifications, but they're not really living up to their, like, the expectations or their potential, I guess. And it was really interesting.
Right.
I went to a job fair last Thursday and gave my little elevator pitch and, you know, people are like, oh, that's really cool and nice. And then I got to the part where I'm working on my PhD and their eyebrows kind of went up just to be like, and she's overqualified. And I think the issue is, like, they don't know me. You know, they're just judging me on a paper, which I've been in HR. I get that. But, I think when you have a lot of education or degrees or, you know, you're just looking for something to adult, they don't think you're going to hang around very long. And if it's a good company or just good people, man, I will stay there forever until we get orders again, which at this point could be anywhere from 3 to 5 years. So, but, you know, that is, I think, a big challenge for military spouses is underemployment and just having folks give us a chance because they know that we're transient, you know, and I don't want to lie and be like, sure, I'll work for you till I die. Like, because that's not the truth. I mean, it could be the best company on the planet, but I'm going to go with my husband next time we get orders, you know, because that's important. So, that's where I'm at. But we're going to keep moving on. So a quick reminder that links to everything we've talked about tonight will be posted in our Twitter feed in the comments section below this podcast on blogtalkradio.com. It's now time for a short commercial break. And coming up next is our new 6 Lisa, bringing us your need-to-know news. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
The Breastfeeding Shop is an authorized TRICARE provider for breast pumps and accessories, shipping to all of the USA and worldwide for TRICARE. The Breastfeeding Shop specializes in helping the military moms get the best breast pump possible and prides themselves in providing the best customer service possible, as well as a very quick turnaround time. Check out their easy-to-use online ordering form on their website at www.thebreastfeedingshop.com or call toll-free 866-255-6779. Also visit the Breastfeeding Shop on Facebook and check out the rave reviews from other moms at facebook.com/thebreastfeedingshop.
Life, our family, our soldier. News you can use. Now with our headlines, it's time for your Army Wife Talk Radio Live News 6 report.
Welcome back, listeners. We have our News 6 Lisa on the line bringing us your need-to-know news. Hey, Lisa, what have you got for us this week?
Hi there, ladies. I have some interesting news for you this week. The Airborne and Special Operations Museum and the Fayetteville Area Transportation and Local History Museum teamed up to help tell the story of Fort Bragg and the end of World War II.
Lisa, that is exciting. So how did the two collaborative museums, how did they do this?
Well, the two downtown museums launched collaborative exhibits on August 18, 2018, the same day the Army hosts its annual National Airborne Day celebration at the Airborne and Special Operations Museum in Fayetteville, North Carolina.
What types of activities were included in this special celebration?
The Airborne Day celebration had public demonstrations and entertainment at the parade fields between the museum and the North Carolina Veterans Park. The day's festivities began at 8 a.m. with a demonstration by the U.S. Army Parachute Team, the Golden Knights, and the U.S. Army Special Operations Command Parachute Team, the Black Daggers. They ended at noon following a high-altitude, low-opening parachute jump.
Lisa, so I'm actually at Fort Bragg, and I saw that we were downtown, and I saw the huge, there was a huge crowd. There was parking everywhere, you know, it was full down at the museum, but I didn't get a chance to see the event. So can you tell us what else went on at the event?
Sure. Something fun added to the event was World War I reenactors on hand for the celebration. The Airborne and Special Operations Museum, located at the corner of Bragg Boulevard and Hay Street, was open from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. on National Airborne Day, historically one of the busiest days of the year for the museum.
Lisa, can you tell us more about how long the exhibits were open and what that looked like for celebration goers?
Of course. That same day, the museum formally opened a special exhibit honoring the 100th anniversary of the nation's largest military installation. The exhibit will remain on display until mid-December. Another exhibit honoring North Carolina's role in World War I also went on display at the North Carolina Veterans Park. The Fayetteville Area Transportation and Local History Museum, located in a former railroad depot on nearby Franklin Street, unveiled its updated exhibits on the war and the creation of Camp Bragg in 1918. Three exhibits are within walking distance of each other.
Okay, Lisa, so what did the exhibits show and what did they touch on as far as with the Great War?
The Airborne and Special Operations Museum exhibit touched on the Great War, the early days of what is now the 82nd Airborne Division, and how the overseas war impacted the nation. Part of that impact was the creation of new military installations, including what would become Fort Bragg.
Well, Lisa, thank you so much for bringing us this story. Listeners, please stay tuned. After this short break, we will be talking with Amanda Tremillos and Stacey Alsbrook-Kuseman, joining us to discuss their book, Season of My Military Student, Practical Ideas for Parents and Teachers. We'll be right back.
You look nice. How was work? Well, it was fourth period civics.
The kids were giving me the third degree. Was a UFO seen hovering over Washington, D.C.? Was a fisherman attacked by a 320-pound shrimp? They'd been bitten by the fake news bug, all right, and it was holding on like a driver's ed student to a steering wheel. How was I going to get a bunch of wide-eyed kids to wise up about what they see on the Internet? Then it hit me, like a dodgeball on field day. The name of the game was News Snoops. Each student got an article and 2 minutes to decide if it was credible or a fake. They were able to use fact-checking sites to get the cold, hard truth. Now the little hotshots are even teaching their gullible grannies a thing or two about phony news. But how was your day?
Pretty good. I got a new title today. Office Birthday Party Planner.
Oh, fun.
Teachers just have better work stories. If you want to create a job worth talking about, head to teachdfw.org. Brought to you by Teach and the Ad Council.
Do you have a product or service to offer our listeners? Reach thousands of military families worldwide via Army Wife Network. ArmyWifeNetwork.com has a limited number of sponsorship opportunities available. Visit ArmyWifeNetwork.com/sponsorship or email us at info@ArmyWifeNetwork.com for details.
Welcome back to Army Wife Talk Radio. I'm your host, Sherita Knobloch. Remember, during this live podcast, Stacey and Amanda are giving away one free ebook of Seasons of My Military Student to a lucky listener. To be entered into our drawing, tweet questions or comments on Twitter in our live chat, being sure to use both the hashtags, hashtag Season of My Military Student and hashtag Army Wife. After the show, we will randomly draw a name from those tweets and contact the winner through their Twitter account. Get tweeting.
I'm your co-host, Caroline Schaefer, and joining us tonight are authors Amanda Tremillos and Stacey Alsbrook Huseman. Amanda Tremillos is an Air Force spouse. She's a mother of four and a national board certified teacher with extensive experience teaching military students in the United States as well as overseas. Amanda holds a doctorate degree in teacher leadership through Concordia University, Chicago, and her research focus is on the professional development of teachers working with military-connected students. Amanda designs professional development in the MBC Teacher Leadership Department of National University San Diego, and she has served as a mentor for the U.S. Department of Education's Teach and Lead Training, giving voice to teacher leaders throughout the United States. She wrote School Choices and Changes, and Stories Around the Table, Laughter, Wisdom, and Strength in Military Life. Amanda also designs and hosts training webinars and professional development training in the unique challenges of military-connected students and back-to-school strategies to support military-connected students.
Stacey Alsbrook Huseman is a Air Force spouse, freelance writer, mother of two, and advocate within the military family community. A past parent-to-parent trainer for the Military Child Education Coalition, she led workshops and seminars on many topics related to education of military-connected students. Stacey's passion for military-connected students and her strong communication skills as a journalist have led her to many positions, to include working for the Department of Defense Education Activity Schools overseas, key volunteer roles in the military community, and with multiple parent-teacher associations over the last decade. In 2015, she created the website familiesonthehomefront.com to help military families with school transition issues. Stacey writes for a myriad of publications, including Military Spouse Magazine, where she covers parenting topics and is a guest writer for national blogs. Her work also appears in Military Kids Life Magazine, the Osprey Observer, and GI Jobs. Before joining the military community, Stacey worked in public affairs for 14 years for the city of Las Vegas, and served as the executive director for the Las Vegas Centennial Celebration. She also contributed an essay, Dot to Dot, Friend to Friend, in Stories Around the Table, Laughter, Wisdom, and Strength in Military Life.
Well, welcome to the show, ladies.
Fantastic. Thank you for having us.
Sure. So if you don't mind, if you could please identify yourselves to the listeners when you're answering so that we know who is talking. And so, Amanda, I'm going to start with you, if that's okay, and then Stacey, we'll have you just jump in. Does that work?
That sounds great.
That sounds great.
Okay. So, Amanda, where are you calling from this evening?
I'm glad you asked. I'm actually calling from Ramstein, Germany, so it's 2:30 in the morning here. So good morning, everyone.
Wow. Good morning. Good morning to me. Yeah, you're welcome. Yeah, my daughter is in Berlin, so I'm thinking, it's the same time. It's crazy. Well, thanks for staying up with us.
Absolutely. My pleasure.
So, Stacey, what about you? Where are you calling from?
Well, I am not calling from Germany, but I am calling from sunny Florida, Tampa, Florida, home of MacDill Air Force Base, which is actually home of CENTCOM and SOCOM.
Okay, great. Well, so what are your own personal experiences that led you guys to write the Seasons of My Military Student, Practical Ideas for Parents and Teachers? Which one of you would like to jump in here first?
Sure, this is Amanda. I'll go ahead and jump in first.
Okay.
So I think writing Seasons of My Military Student probably started a good 22 years ago for both of us. My first introduction to the military was marrying my husband and being whisked away to England for my first teaching job and our first assignment. From there, we moved every 2 to 3 years where I was teaching at a new school, new state, every 2 to 3 years. Where I taught on-base, I taught off-base, taught for DODEA, taught for public schools, and what I found was no school ever trained me to work with our military-connected students. And so I had, when I taught sixth grade, I had sixth graders in my classroom hiding under their desk crying because they didn't have a pen. And nobody put their arm around me and said, Amanda, could it be that maybe they just moved here and mom or dad hadn't had a chance to go shopping yet?
Right.
So it's situations like that. And then when I was teaching high school, I lost count of how many times I would start teaching Romeo and Juliet in 10th grade, and a new 10th grader would walk in the room, ready and excited to start school, only to find out that they had just taken their final in Romeo and Juliet, and we were just starting Romeo and Juliet, and trying to figure out what do I now do with this student for the next 6 weeks while they're completely repeating content. And again, nobody took me under the wing and taught me, so I had to start figuring it out myself. So I began researching, I began studying, I began building strategies, and as I built that, I kind of mentored other teachers along the way. And in some of that researching, I met Stacy as a parent advocate who's, reaching out and trying to teach parents similar things. So we kind of connected virtually through our own research. And so when Alvarisa, our publisher, reached out to us and asking if the two of us would co-author a book, it just felt like a natural fit, something that we had already been working on for at least a decade.
That's really extraordinary listening to that story. So you guys both out of kind of your frustration came together and then this was born.
Absolutely.
Stacey, do you want to jump in? Yeah, please. Yes.
Yeah, I'll just jump in, just to piggyback off of Amanda. This is Stacey speaking. For me, I was born and raised in the same city my entire life. For 34 years, I lived in the city of Las Vegas. I went to one school, went to one school district. I only changed schools with grade promotions. It wasn't until I met my husband and married him and married the military that I really understand what a transient life I was going to live for the next 14 plus years and dragging two kids along the way. And I've watched families struggle with every single assignment that we've been to, which has been 7 and 14 years. And the struggle's real. No matter how much job experience I have, nothing prepared me for how hard it was going to be changing schools for my children, for my family, every 1 to 3 years. So when Alvarisa gave us the opportunity to work together, how could I not jump at the chance to work with someone as qualified as Amanda? It was a win-win for both of us.
Were you all stationed together at the time?
Well, that's kind of a funny story. I'll just say it like it is because it's hilarious. Okay. It's a total military spouse story. And the quick of the dirty is, I was in Germany, and Amanda was in Washington D.C. And Alvarisa, we had never met. We worked together, collaborated on a couple things once in a while, but we had never met. And then they put us together to write the book. I wrote from Germany. She wrote from D.C. And then she called me and said, "You're not going to believe this, but my husband has orders to Germany." And I said, "You're not going to believe this, but my next-door neighbor's moving out. Do you want a house?" She said, "Yes." So she moved in next door and we wrote the book together for the next year.
That's really cool. how that worked out.
That's only a military style story. You can't do anything else with it.
Yeah, that's true.
It
no,
doesn't
that's
happen
true.
Anywhere else.
That's true. That's very true. So what are the seasons of transition concept that you all talk about? And how are these seasons different from the seasons of any school year?
Sure. So this is Amanda. The seasons concept is, you know, really simple, actually. You know, if we start looking at, you know, the school year has its season of, you know, usually school year starts in fall, goes through winter, everybody's
right.
off in summer. But what we find is a military student doesn't follow the school year. Military orders don't follow the school year. So we
mm-hmm.
didn't take the book following the school year, but we took the book following the student. And so each moon, what we find is that each moon follows a pattern, and we built those into the seasons of transition as a cycle of four seasons
okay.
that follow the student, you know, from the hint of orders to moving to getting settled to eventually finding a new set of a hint of orders and moving again.
Okay.
And this is Stacy, and I'll just piggyback on Amanda again. You know, we really believe that every military connected student goes through a season of transition, all of them.
Sure.
It's almost universal. And the seasons range from emotional, social, and academic. And it's the changes the student experiences at home, at school, before the move, and through the school when they finally get settled. So it's all about it. It's all a cycle, and we all go through it.
Right. So you just named off some of the seasons. So do you all have it broken down into four specific seasons? Is that right?
Correct. So this is Amanda. So there's four seasons, and we love to kind of piggyback off of each other. So I'll do one, Stacey will do one, and I'll do one.
Sure.
The first season is the season of leaving. And the season starts with the anticipation of a move where, you know, maybe the parents are in the back room whispering of, we think we're going to get orders, but they don't even know where they're going to go yet. And we say that the season
right.
of leaving starts then when the student starts to feel something's different in the house and they don't know what. And the
mm-hmm.
season leaving goes from that anticipation to the parents actually receiving orders, to telling the teacher, to exiting, leaving the school, and driving away. And then from there, Stacy.
The season is, you can guess that where we're in right now for most of the military families across the globe is the season of arriving. The season of arriving begins with the preparation of the first day of school, like we're all going through right now or in the process of it. To include registration
mm-hmm.
and also up to meeting the teacher. The season continues through the first parent-teacher conference, which can normally happen between the second week all the way up to the ninth week, which we for military kids, we really want it to happen way before the mm-hmm. nine-week mark.
Okay.
So the third season is the season of growing, and if we've nailed the season of arriving, you know, the season of arriving hopefully ends in the first 2 weeks of school, you know, meeting the teacher, getting to know the student, and getting past the who are you, who's the teacher, who's the student. So now the student can start growing in the classroom. It starts after that, you know, first introduction, and then it's when the student starts to settle into new academic standards. It's where they start to figure out and settle in, you know, is the student in the right class? Are they understanding the curriculum and the standards of the new state, since we know that not every state has the same standards? So it's helping, it's
right.
the growing, it's getting the student settled into the curriculum, and, you know, we call it, you know, them putting their roots and starting to become involved.
And
okay.
the final season,
that makes
the
sense.
Season we all of us love this one, is a season of thriving. And this is when the students are fully integrated into school. Amanda likes to say it's when the student is wearing the school colors and the school colors are wearing, or the school is wearing the student colors. I mean, it's one of those things where you just know they fit in and you're on your mm-hmm. way. And then it happens all over again when the season of leaving begins with the hint of orders the next year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, or 5 years.
Wow. Okay.
That I love how you gals have broken that down, because I even see that already, like, with my kids, and they've just started school. Just like we talked about earlier, I've just started with a kindergartner, but I see, like, the, you know, anticipation of leaving where you're at and then what it's going to be when you get there and then figuring out the teachers. And I'm looking forward to thriving. I feel like my kiddo hopefully is going to get there quickly, but I think it's going to be a good place. So why is this concept helpful for better school transitions and for students' overall academic and personal growth?
Absolutely. So this is Amanda. I think the big thing to think about is any move is going to be overwhelming and can be overwhelming for a child, for a military-connected student, no matter how many times they've moved in the past. You know, a kid is a kid. And it doesn't matter if they're military, if they're not military, they're still a kid, and they don't want to leave their friends. They don't want to leave what they know, and they don't want to leave the season of thriving. And so what we're trying to do with the seasons and of transitions concept is to help break down the overwhelming, how do I get from this season of thriving to the next season of thriving? How do we break that down into manageable pieces and manageable experiences to help them build those skills to take themselves through that process?
Right, and I can also say that, you know, as this is Stacy speaking, and as a parent advocate, I can say I can speak directly to the parents when I say that the parent is the one who can really properly advocate for their child. The parent has to take the lead, and that's what our book really talks about, is that the parents have to be involved. Transitioning doesn't have to be a gamble or based on personality in the front office of the next school, because that's what my experience has been, along with others. You know, it's more than just researching the right school. It's exiting the current school ahead of the game and entering the new school with one foot in the door. And why would any parent want to waste 6 to 9 weeks of get to know my students when it can be reduced to two weeks? And that's one of the strategies and more like that in the book.
So speaking of the book, how specifically does Seasons of My Military Student address those challenges faced by military students with each move in school change?
Sure. So this is Amanda. You know, so first off, you know, the book's broken down into the chapters. You know, each season has its own chapter. The overall key through the entire book is the parents and teachers working as a team, and how the parent and teacher as a student advocacy team can work within each season to help support the student even before the student realizes there might be a challenge present. So how are the parent and the teacher working together to support the student in academics, in grades, in curriculum, but also how are they working together to help the student make friends, get involved, and have the social context that they need? You know, and the best part is, you know, it's filled with strategies and tips for both the parent and the teacher and the parent-teacher together, and all of the strategies and tips are strategies that real teachers of military-connected kids and real parents of military-connected kids use and have used and have, you know, come and said, you know, we've tried this in my classroom and it works and I'm going to do it from now on.
Right, and this is Stacy, and we absolutely believe that parents and teachers are actually teammates at the end of the day. And as much onus as I place on the parent to be informed, and an invested teacher can change a child's life. And I think, Amanda, you know, we all know this as being parents. We know that that one teacher can make a difference, right? Amanda,
that's
and I
my
actually
goal.
Help identify. Yeah, right, exactly. We want to be able to help teachers identify those needs for military students in transitioning in and out of their classroom and minimize, you know, whatever challenges they are. We advocate most importantly for documentation and communication, asking the right questions, and offer strategies such as things like the binder and teacher communication, you know, specific things to be able to help them get through these challenges.
That's excellent. And, again, I just tie it to my own experience because I was so excited about Karis as teacher because, you know, moving here, it's not really like we can pull, you know, I'm kind of afraid sometimes to go on some of the wives pages and be like, hey, who's a good kindergarten teacher for XYZ school, because everybody's going to have different experiences and different priorities, and some people are just going to get off track and be like, oh, don't go to that school. I'm like, well, that's where we're zoned. You know, so Karis, my daughter, just got a great teacher, and she's been teaching for 16 years at this school and been teaching for over 30-something total, and you can tell that she loves her job, and she, like, I can almost guarantee she probably does change the lives of every student that comes through the class, and You gals are right on target when it's talking about the parent and the teacher working together for the betterment of their child with these seasons of the military students. So you mentioned a little bit about the binder. So what is the education binder, and how does it help in one transition or over multiple moves for a military student?
So this is Amanda. You know, the quickest way to say, you know, explain what an education binder is, say it's a living document that grows and moves as the student grows and moves. And if you think about, you know, a traditional move when, you know, a student moves from one school to another school, the school is going to send a transcript, you know, probably in an envelope with a single sheet of paper in it that has the grades that that student earned, you know, their transcripts. And that's all that shows up at the new school. And what Stacy and I talk about is let's create a living document that goes with the student. And so the living document is to really teach the school who this kid really is, because the kid isn't a piece of paper, isn't a list of grades. So it's a binder where we're going to say, you know, put a picture of your student on the binder. You know, let the name, you know, let the school already know the student by face, by a picture. Put some work samples in this binder to show where's the student strong, you know, where are they excelling in academics, where do they still need help, because grades might not give that full information. With older kids, it's often helpful to put in, you know, previous state standards, you know, so that when they move to a new school, the new school knows, you know, well, what standards have already been mastered, what standards still need to be repeated in order for them to be successful in the new school. And one of the important things we talk about is, you know, especially when it comes with grades and everything, is document, even on a transcript or in the binder, is, you know, was there a time of excessive absences or drops in grades that aligned to a PCS, a TDY, a deployment, or any other difficult situation that surrounded the military-connected student? Can you kind of say, this isn't really my kid? You know, my kid doesn't normally earn these grades or doesn't normally have these absences or behavior problems, but because of this unique military-connected situation like a deployment, we had to have more absences. Or we didn't do all of the homework because we were, you know, Skyping with dad or with mom. And, you know, document those so this new school has an idea and an understanding of who this child is beyond just a piece of paper.
Right, and I'm going to piggyback on Amanda. This is Stacy again. The way that I've always used, and I've used it personally so I can speak that it works, it is a portable teacher's lounge. And I don't, and Caroline, I'm sure you understand this, having a kid in college is what I overheard, is, you know, that the teacher's lounge is exactly where you get all the inside scoop about a child, their sibling, their family, whatever they need. And as a military-connected kid, you know, we're always a new kid. And those kids do not get the benefit of a portable, of a teacher's lounge. And that's what the binder is.
Right.
It's about giving the inside skinny on my kid so that before you place my kid in the classroom, this is, you need to read this. And that's what the goal of the binder is.
That's great. Well, Stacy and Amanda, we do need to take a quick break, but when we come back, let's talk about the Interstate Compact for military students and what that is. So I'm looking forward to talking about that. If you're listening to our show live right now, listeners, we are having some fun over on Twitter. Stacy and Amanda are giving away one free copy of their ebook, Seasons of My Military Student, to a lucky listener. To be entered into our drawing, tweet questions or comments on Twitter in our live chat. Being sure to use both the hashtags, hashtag season of my military student and hashtag army wife. After the show, we will randomly draw from those tweets and contact the winner through Twitter's account. So go on over there and shoot out some tweets. In the meantime, we'll be right back with more Army Wife Talk Radio in just a moment.
Hi, this is Wendy Baird Packard, and I'd like to take a moment of your day. Friendship. Developing friendship can be difficult, especially as a military spouse. Rarely do we pick our neighbors, nor does our spouse pick their coworkers. Oftentimes, we're faced with allowing fate to dictate who we might consider friends as we start a new life every several years. As I reflect over the past few weeks, I was able to see an amazing view of friendship. I was blessed to visit with a friend who I've known for 41 years. At the same time, I was texting with a friend I'd known for 6 years. The next day, I hugged a friend and neighbor I'd only known for 2 years but had spent so much time with, and now is saying goodbye because of a PCS. Finding myself in a huge struggle with an overwhelming life issue, I reached out to two more friends who I trust so much for spiritual and professional guidance. As I look at each of these women, I realize how blessed I am to have them as friends. You may not get to see them or speak to them every day, but those true friends will always be there for you. Remember, it's the quality of the friendship, not the quantity of friends. We are lucky as military spouses to have the opportunity to meet new friends and are very blessed that some of those friends will be family for life. This is Wendy Baird Packard, and I hope this helps your day.
Want to expand your military spouse information arsenal? ArmyWifeNetwork.com offers military family news and resources, experience and expert blogs, active social media, and much, much more. Visit ArmyWifeNetwork.com. Your interactive empowerment for Army Wives by Army Wives.
Welcome back to the show. We're talking with Amanda Tremios and Stacey Alsbrook-Huseman, authors of Seasons of the Military Student, Practical Ideas for Parents and Teachers. Remember, Stacey and Amanda are giving away one free ebook of Seasons of My Military Student to a lucky listener tonight. To be entered, hop on over to Twitter and use the hashtag #SeasonsOfMyMilitaryStudent and hashtag #ArmyWife. After the show, we will draw a name from those tweets and contact the winner through their Twitter account. Before we went to break, Amanda and Stacey, you shared with us about the education binder and how it helps during a transition. Now, let's talk about the Interstate Compact for Military Students. This time, let's go ahead and start with Stacey, and then Amanda, you can jump in. So my first question, for someone who doesn't know about Interstate Compact for Military Students, share with us what it is and what it does.
Hi, this is Stacey, and I will tell you the compact is actually a law. It's a basic law and allows school districts to offer military-connected students basically a level playing field. It's not a suggestion. It's actually a law. And I think the Interstate Compact is a perfect definition. I'm just going to read it to you because it really covers it, covers the basis, and I don't have to improvise. But the Interstate Compact has been signed by all 50 states, the District of Columbia, and DODEA schools worldwide. The compact supports military-connected students in kindergarten through high school, including children of all U.S. active duty members, National Guard, Reserve members who are on active duty orders. The compact also applies to children of military members who have died while on active duty for 1 year after the death of a military member, and for up to 1 year for children of medically discharged or retired veterans. Amanda?
Sure. So this is Amanda. What's fun to note is about 2 days ago was the four-year anniversary of the 50th state signing the Military Interstate Compact. Some of the provisions that are provided for within the compact include enrollment protections for military-connected students. So, you know, students who start kindergarten, if they PCS in the middle of the school year, they'll be able to continue in with kindergarten, even if the age requirement start dates for school different from state to state. So it includes enrollment. It includes placement in appropriate grade-level classes without repeating similar courses due to the varied state standards and requirements. The provisions include continuation of special services like special education or gifted without waiting for, you know, a long extent for a reevaluation, so hopefully the student can get in the right class within the first couple weeks of school. For high schoolers, if they have an exit or an end-of-course exam at one school, the new school is supposed to accept that, especially if it's required for graduation, so they don't have to retake exit exams in order to graduate high school. For seniors, it protects graduation with transferring credits to make sure that if when they move to a new school they suddenly don't have enough credits to graduate, they're protected under the compact. Helping students with extracurricular activities to be able to stay involved even if they've missed the deadlines for tryouts. And then for deployment-related situations like absences on student records and protecting, well, with department-related absences, you know, protecting them and offering additional excused absences that are related directly to a deployment.
That is super helpful because that was one of my personal questions. Like now that we, you know, have a student going to school full-time, you know, we don't have the flexibility as we would with preschool or before she was in school to travel or to see my husband before, after, during, you know, when he leaves. So that's really helpful. I honestly had no idea about the Interstate Compact for Military Students. So I'm totally taking notes. And,
fantastic. We caught something new today.
Yes. I am super pumped. So have you guys talked about –
Oh, I'm sorry. I just want to add really quick. It's important that a parent, and I know you got one at a kindergarten. It's important, parent to parent, that you know what's available, what Compact covers, mm-hmm. and what it does not cover. Because that way, when you go into the school, you can avoid confrontation and conflict right off the bat by just knowing what's covered and what isn't. And it will be really helpful in the future.
That's great. Super helpful. I'm going to go do my research, probably read your book, and then do some more research. And so can you talk about some of the specific strategies that you share in Seasons of My Military Student?
Sure, absolutely. We have lots of different strategies, and some of the strategies we talk about run the gamut through each season. So the season of leaving, arriving, growing and thriving, including storms too, because that's another part of it. But one of the things we talked about before is the teacher-to-teacher letter. And a teacher-to-teacher letter is something that I think all of us innately want to do and understand why it needs to be done, but we just don't know when to ask for it. The idea is that you ask your current teacher, K through six is fine, and you can even ask, middle school, secondary school teachers as well in particular subjects. Ask your current teacher to write a letter about your student, what kind of peer your student is, strengths and weaknesses, what to look for. Remember I talked about that inside skinny, the inside scoop of your kid? Well, your teacher's going to know that. You ask them to write a letter from your current teacher to your future teacher. Yes, of course you're not going to know who your future teacher is, but that letter will be super, super helpful to that teacher on the first 2 weeks of school when they go, where am I going to put little Johnny? Or where am I going to put David? Or where is Amanda going to go in this classroom? Am I going to start her off at a lower level? I see that she's already done a lot of math. Her teacher says she's a fantastic student in math. I'm going to go ahead and challenge her right off the bat and see where she goes. It really shortens that get-to-know-you time by several weeks, if not months.
That's excellent. What a great suggestion. I never would have thought of that.
And then this is Amanda. If I can add a little bit. Stacey and I sat for a long time, talking about, if you ask us about strategies, what strategies do we want to talk about in a short time? And we thought, right now so many people are in the season of arrival. It's the beginning of the school year, but military-connected students, they're going to be in the season of arrival next week, next month. I've had students arrive in May, which seems crazy to start a class in May. And so talking, we have the tips for teachers and tips for parents. So teacher to teacher, if I were to talk to teachers and offer strategies, I would say have your classroom ready for a new student even before you know that new student is enrolling. So I've learned I keep extra supplies in my classroom so that way when the student comes in and hasn't had a chance to go to the BX or go to the store to buy school supplies, I now have a pen ready and available. I now have paper ready and available, not assuming that they're going to walk in fully prepared for the first couple of weeks of school. I offer a buddy system, for somebody to walk the student. And I teach high school typically, for this buddy to walk them from class to class, help them know where the cafeteria is, the library is, the office is. My favorite one is I keep an open seating chart, which essentially means that, if I assign my seating chart into groups and I have, 20 students in my class, I always set my groups expecting student 21 to walk in the door. So I can't have five groups of four students because when student 21, the student I've never met before, walks in, that student won't have a place to sit and still be within the group. So I make sure that I maybe make my group smaller so when a student comes in, that student has a place to sit.
Okay, I like that. So this is Caroline, since I feel like you guys are calling us your Amanda and Stacey. I'm the one with the college kid. And you said his name, my little heart, even though you're not talking directly about him.
Aww.
I have a little kind of Twitter-pated. I love him. And this is, we could talk for hours, I'm sure. But you guys, you touched on, Stacey, I think it was you, that touched mm-hmm. on storms. So
yeah.
What are those storms? What do you, I mean, I have an idea of what they are.
Sure. I mean,
I'm interested,
it's all a big metaphor. We're all talking metaphors right now. I mean, when it really comes, storms
sure.
to us, it is unique to our lifestyle. I mean, my husband's been in for 24
yeah.
years. It only happens to us. And it's things like separations and TDYs,
mm-hmm.
prolonged assignments away from home. And a family's choice to geobatch. Geobatching means, you know, you're going to stay while your husband goes or your wife goes or some ways, you know, in a different state and does an entire year alone just so you don't have to move the kid out of school. There's extremes, too, such as death or injury of a parent in combat. You know, those are storms.
Oh, yeah.
And in that, I would say, you know, it's really about a strong teacher that can help a parent take the lead in that to help a kid in the classroom. Because, you know, parents are, we're struggling during those storms, too. So if you have a really good mm-hmm. teacher, a teacher who understands military-connected kids, the teacher can offer shelter from the storm. And most importantly, I was just thinking about your deployment upcoming. And, you know, you let the teacher know as soon as possible, even at the hint, so she understands if she sees any changes in your kindergartner. You know, let the teacher know even before the child knows that your husband will deploy. And that way they can mm-hmm. they can... she can keep an eye on for any changes in the classroom. That's a storm.
Sharita, did you get that? Are you writing that? Yeah, I was going to say,
that
Sharita, are you writing that in your notebook? She's got a few notebooks, I'm telling you right now.
Just a couple notebooks. I'm taking notes right now.
Yeah. Just a couple. Yeah, I've witnessed what you were just talking about with our oldest during the invasion with one of her friends. So, so after a move, what are some things that a parent should pay attention to or a teacher should pay attention to with the student?
Amanda, you want to take that one? Or you want me to take
sure.
it?
Sure. So I'll go ahead and do it. Both the parent and teacher are going to look for both the academic and the social emotional side of the student. You know, Stacey and I believe that if, you know, even if the student is on the correct academic path, if they don't have friends mm-hmm. and they aren't feeling like they're connected, then their academics are going to start sliding. So it's, you know, academically we're watching for, you know, are they, you know, how are they doing with the curriculum? Are there gaps in their learning? Are they repeating any mm-hmm. learning? Is their class placement appropriate? Are lessons too easy or too difficult? But then also, how are they adjusting socially? Are they raising their hands in the classroom? Are they walking in with a friend? Or are they walking in alone? So that way, you know, if we're watching both their social growth and their academic growth, then we're moving quickly into the season of growing and straight to the season of thriving.
And I'll add, as a parent, I don't know about y'all, but I am not settled until my kid is settled. And I have a saying that I say all the time, which is all a military kid needs is the opportunity to make friends. But as a parent, it's our job to give them that opportunity, which means push them out of their comfort zone, push them in the club, uh-huh. sports classes, neighbors, push them outside, make them, you know, friends are not going to knock on their door. But I know every time I move, and it's been 7 moves with my children in school, I'm never comfortable until they have a friend. And so that's what I push for, and that's what I look for. And if I can't do it, I ask the teacher to help me. I'll send a message and say, help me find him a friend. We're struggling. That's happened too.
It sounds like you guys have had some, not only just learning experiences with struggles, but some great experiences as well. And
mm-hmm.
it sounds like it's a book that's definitely, I still read parenting books, so I'll probably pick it up. So.
Well, you never stop being a parent, even when they go to college.
I know this. I love him. I do. I love him so much.
I know. I think about all the dorm rooms right now that I see on Facebook of all the parents I know. Their kids are first year in college. So I'm feeling mm-hmm. you. I'm feeling you.
That's why I said what I said earlier. Just sometimes this is when you start talking to them about something other than what are your grades like? Hey, I love you. Hey, have a great day. It's weird.
Yeah.
It's a weird transition, but yeah. So where can our listeners go to learn more? Because it sounds like there's so much more we can, we've just touched on your book a little bit.
We kind of had the icing, and
now we need the cupcake. Right.
We did, and we just touched on it. And really, our book is built for parents out there and for teachers who are based in military-connected kids. And you can find us at www.seasonsofmymilitarystudent.com. And we have a great newsletter there. You can follow our monthly blog, both I blog and so does Amanda. Of course, we're on Facebook, which is Facebook Seasons of My Military Student, as well as Twitter under the same handle. You can find us there, and Elva Risa, which is a publisher of our book, is Karen and Terry are just amazing to us, and they put out a fantastic newsletter every single month.
And then in addition, this is Amanda, you know, to the formal book sites, Stacy and I also host an interactive Facebook group called Seasons of My Military Student Parent and Teacher Group, K-12.
Right.
And it has parents, it has teachers, school counselors, school liaison officers, administrators from around the world. So, yes, even from Germany, Japan, Guam, and all throughout the United States, daily coming in and connecting, you know, I have a question or I have a strategy, so that we were seeing challenges and strategies currently happening around the world as we're talking about Seasons of My Military Student.
And it's just a great
place
for parents to connect with each other, to have the same, just to share the love of their kid going to college.
Oh, thank you.
Well, Amanda and Stacy, thank you so much for joining us this evening and sharing about your book, Seasons of the Military Student, Practical Ideas for Parents and Teachers. We so appreciated having this conversation, and it was such a great resource. I'm going to be looking it up when I get off the phone. And shortly after this live show,
we'll
be drawing the name of one lucky listener. You will get a free copy of Stacy and Amanda's book. The winner will be contacted through their Twitter account, so be sure to check your Twitter inbox to see if you've won. Listeners, thank you so much for being with us tonight. Be sure to join us next week, August 27th, 2018, when our featured guest will be Chris Newsom from Recruit Military. Recruit Military connects employers with high-quality veteran talent. It's going to be another empowering show. You don't want to miss it.
In the meantime, join us on www.armywifenetwork.com to stay connected to resources, information, expert columnists, and share the journey with many of our experienced contributors, or follow along on any of our social media outlets such as Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram.
We are your interactive empowerment for Army Wives by Army Wives. This is Army Wives Network's core team signing out.
Thank you for tuning into Army Wife Talk Radio. The views and opinions expressed in our show are personal. Army Wife Talk Radio is in no way affiliated with the Department of Defense or any other branch of the armed services. And inclusion in our show does not reflect endorsement by the DoD, any local government, or their agencies. Until the next episode, head over to ArmyWifeNetwork.com. Your interactive empowerment for Army Wives by Army Wives.